And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. What's going on? How we doing?
Not bad, not bad. Didn't get to – I just couldn't finish that game last night. I'm looking at the
screen. I didn't even
try. Yeah, I mean, I was – I might have, if not for the weather. But then I was like, okay, this is my excuse to go to bed. But pretty fun game. Fun stuff happened before it, too, or right at the beginning of it, too.
Spitgate.
Yeah. And what, Dak spit first? That's the whole thing here? Yeah,
Dak spit first. But apparently was not trying to spit on Jalen Carter. Lengthy statement from Dak Prescott after the game.
But his spit didn't hit Carter, right?
That is correct.
Yeah, he just sort of spat.
But apparently Jalen Carter asked him at that point if he was trying to spit on him. And Dak was like, why would I do that? And then Jalen Carter spit on him.
And Jalen Carter said, here, let me show you how to do it.
Yeah.
And you gotta
let me show you how this is done.
Pick a spot and then really just let it fly.
Hawk Tua!
Dak Tua.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I saw somebody tweet that last night. That's awesome.
That is pretty good.
I mean, what a start to the NFL season. I mean, get the opening kickoff, and then before the first play from scrimmage is run, Jalen Carter gets booted from the game last night.
Good mute. We probably got a better game because of it, right?
Probably.
I mean,
yes.
I mean, he's kind of good. He's kind of important.
I mean, Dallas went right down the field on their first drive, and I was like, oh, boy. Jalen Carter's out of the game. Cowboys got some hope in this one.
They were like, hey, let's call some inside runs.
Yeah.
You know? And it worked.
Turns out there's somebody missing in there that may be a big deal.
Yeah.
In the middle of it.
I can't believe, actually, that the way the game was going, that in the ends, the late stages, there were no points. I saw that CeeDee Lamb had some critical drops.
Yeah. Well, I thought after the first drive for Dallas, I was telling Ian this before the show, I thought CeeDee Lamb was going to end up with about 80 catches. For 600 yards in that single game just because Adoree Jackson was out there covering him. And I was like, yeah, that looks familiar. I've seen that before out there. It didn't go well for Adoree Jackson on that first drive.
No.
Just got smoked.
Well, no, or after that, too. They were clearly like, yeah, we're going to throw
throw
this way. So there is a if anybody thinks the Eagles are perfect, I mean, Adoree Jackson's their CB2 in at this point in his career especially. Probably not great. You can't be great everywhere. Yeah, I'm looking at these CD drops. It's tough, man. I mean, the last one there, that would have been a really good play, but the earlier one, my goodness, can't throw it better than Dak threw it.
I think they said he had 4 drops in the game in 7 or 8 all last season.
Wow. By the way,
you got to rein that focus in a little bit.
I guess so, man. Still a great player. Still had great numbers at the end, right? CD. I mean, he had
over 100. I know for sure.
He had more than 100. So, but yeah. So tough for the Cowboys. That would have been nice for Chase to to get a kind of surprise win, feel a little bit better about the Micah stuff and all that.
Well, I needed them to go in there and win. I mean, this season long race that I've got in my head with the Philadelphia Eagles for home field advantage at the end. I needed them to win last night.
That's right.
I didn't do it.
You just worry about the Lions, man. Micah Parsons telling the Lions, what do you say?
Oh,
I hate
I'm,
the Lions.
Trust me, I'm fully locked in on the Lions. I'm fully locked in.
Locked on Lions.
Yes, I'm locked on the Detroit Lions coming up on Sunday. I'm random sidebar. I'm just looking at the NFL page on my ESPN app. Apparently tonight's Chiefs-Chargers game is on YouTube. Previously unaware of that. Did not know that.
Yeah.
So do you have to have YouTube TV?
I think it's just regular YouTube.
Okay.
So if you have YouTube TV, which I do, I should be okay?
I would think so, for sure.
Probably.
I'm worried.
Yeah.
Or
do I have to go to
YouTube? A little bit worried about myself because I don't have YouTube TV. So I don't know. I might be in the dark on this one.
I mean, I think it just says YouTube. It doesn't say YouTube TV.
Yeah. But right. So that would be like anybody to me who doesn't have YouTube TV needs to go to YouTube.com. But if you have YouTube TV, don't you think that since it's owned by YouTube?
I mean, I would think so, yes.
We'll see. We'll find out. Yeah, Joey from Bellevue, how about that monster game from A.J. Brown? Yeah, 1 catch for 8 yards.
Yeah, good stuff from him last night.
I mean, Jalen Hurts never looked at any of his. He threw to his tight end. He threw it to Barkley or he ran. But, you know, they still won. I mean, that's the thing about them. It's they have a luxury of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Now, I'm sure one of them will have a huge game this next week. But, yeah, did A.J. get mad? Was A.J. mad?
I don't know. Didn't see. I mean, apparently, according to ChatGPT, Joe, yes, you'll be fine with YouTube TV watching the game. But it is on YouTube for free, and it is being called, quote, the most accessible NFL game ever.
Okay, Chiefs booyah. Chargers. Bring it.
How about that, Ian? The most accessible NFL game ever coming out tonight.
I don't believe that, but
so
all you need is bunny ears regularly. Say, it's free. You don't need internet.
For decades, if you had a TV and bunny ears, you would have access. Is it more accessible?
But I mean, I guess what they're saying is worldwide? Like you could just, yeah, like you could be in, you know, Indonesia Taiwan. And go to YouTube and pull this sucker up.
Yeah, maybe they have a point there.
I guess that's fair. Okay. All right. Good.
A lot of people going to be watching the Chiefs and Chargers tonight, apparently.
Yeah, I will be.
Yeah, I'm looking forward
to
it,
man. Yeah. I'm more excited about that game than.
If you're the Titans, you need the Chargers to win so you can give the Chiefs their first loss and take home field advantage away from them. That's what you need to be viewing if you're the Titans.
The race starts now.
Race starts now. And the more the Chiefs can lose, better off the Titans are going to be, I think.
I feel like, I can go through some of the Athletic predictions, but I mean they kind of confirm this. But like very very few people believe in the Chiefs this year. Believe that that the Super Bowl, which again they were in the Super Bowl, they got smoked.
Yeah,
but that the Super Bowl is the start of the decline. That's the sense I'm getting. I guess I kind of am on the same boat, but I picked them to win the division. But I don't know. I also feel like maybe people are a little bit overboard with
that. We've probably had this conversation before about burying the Chiefs.
Yeah.
I will say, like, they just looked a little old last year.
Yeah.
And beyond just Kelsey, looked a little old.
Well, their offense looks sluggish, and their defense has kind of carried them the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, and you think about our fantasy draft the other night. I know someone got Mahomes at some point, but, it wasn't that long ago that, like, he was going in the first round regularly because of the numbers were just absurd on a regular basis. And they're not that at all. I do think that if Rashee Rice, can be on the field, kind of put it all together, that could really make a difference for Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if the offense is better this year. That would be probably the main thing. Look, we know he's going to be good, but who's the – like, is Kelsey back to being Travis Kelsey, or is he another year older continuing to – kind of spiral downward there. Is Xavier Worthy going to be like some stud out there for them this year? I don't know. Like, I'm interested to see how that goes. But I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs, right? Like, they're going to be – I have seen a lot of people picking the Broncos to win that division. I've seen some pick the Chargers to win that division. I think the loss of the Chargers left tackle is going to be a big problem for them to overcome there. But to your point, I have seen a whole lot of Ravens and Bills in the Super Bowl this year in terms of people and their preseason predictions. A lot of Ravens, a lot of Bills.
No, dominant. In fact, I'll find it. But, it's overwhelming that it's those two. And, again, it's like, I mean, I don't think that's like just, it's not just wishful thinking. I mean, they're both really good teams, and it should be their time. One of them. It should be one of their times this year. But, I think I'm more on board with that than I am with Denver winning the AFC West, but that's a very popular pick.
Yeah. I mean, we're going to get a firsthand look at Denver this weekend, and we'll see exactly what they look like, how prepared they are. But, I mean, I picked Denver. I picked Denver to win the AFC West. I don't feel great about it, but I do like their team, and I like their defense, and I like their coach, so – I think that division has a chance to be pretty good. Like, you're looking at the – and I know we talked about that. Remember when Russ came there?
The Raiders aren't trash anymore.
Yeah, remember when Russ came there and it's like, oh, yeah, look at this AFC West out there. It may be the best division ever.
Yeah, greatest division ever.
And it just sucked. And, the Chiefs have won it, 9 years in a row? I think they've won 9 years in a row, that division, which is pretty insane in the NFL for somebody to do that.
Yeah, no, it really is. So I'm trying to – I will say, too, with the Athletic Offensive Rookie of the Year, Genty is the runaway But Cam Ward did come in second with 7 votes, by the way.
Which I believe is exactly how the Vegas odds line up as well. Genty 1 and Ward 2.
Okay. And also, NFL coach getting fired first. There's 4 names. Brian Callahan, not one of those names.
Okay. I mean, the first name, would it be Brian Daboll? Is he on the list?
Actually, he is on the list, but the most popular picks, it's – so I'm trying to think.
McDaniel.
Okay, there was – I'm seeing 15 and a half, and I'm like, what? Shane Steichen won. Shane Steichen won with got 15 and a half votes, and Kevin Stefanski got 3.5 for less, but it's 15 and a half, Mike McDaniel 15, Daboll 10, then Stefanski, nothing for Callahan.
So Brian Callahan, not even the first AFC South coach on the list there.
Yeah. Now, of course, if you're a Titans fan, you might be like, yeah, it's just because they just ignore us in general, you know. So there may be something to that.
Could be. I mean, look, if the season goes the way I said it may start yesterday, and they're like 1-9 or 1-10 or whatever it is, he's probably gonna get fired. That'd be my guess.
If they're at 1-10, yeah. I mean, again, what is the one? Is it possible to be that bad but have your quarterback thrown for like, you know, 280 a week and everybody?
I don't think
so. I mean, like the defense is giving up 35 points. You know what I mean? I mean, I'd probably not, but that's like, I guess, the scenario where it's like, yeah, just get a new D coordinator and, you know, you're doing a great job with the quarterback.
If they're 1-10, I don't think it really much matters how they get there. I think he's probably gone.
I just don't know if an in-season hiring or firing would make sense regardless of the record at this point.
Do you mean gone in season or just this will be his last season?
Probably this will be his last season.
Yeah.
I think I would just wait till the end of the season, considering, I mean, this is, you know.
I mean, how many?
I'll be surprised if she makes an in-season firing.
How many in-season firings do we see in the NFL? I mean, it happens.
It happens.
But I don't think it happens that much.
No. Yeah. No, it doesn't happen too much. It seems like maybe 1 or 2 a year. But, yeah, no, probably some years that we have none.
Yeah, like when, you know, Eberflus got fired. It's like, yeah, that's probably going to be an in-season firing. It's like, yep, worked out that way.
After he, confirmed that he can't count.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah, things like that will get you.
Yeah, they will. Let's avoid things like that if you're Brian Callahan. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, opening weekend for the Titans. We'll take your thoughts on that. We got some college football to get into later this hour as well. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. And one member of our program off to a fantastic start in the Pigskin Pick'em competition. We'll get into that later in the show at 8:30 as well. All that coming up, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Titans taking on the Broncos this weekend. We will get our picks for that later in the show. We will get into the most important Titans, not named Cam Ward, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour for this weekend in the Denver Broncos game. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025. Joe, let me ask you this. And Ian, I want you to weigh in on this too. We have gone through the matchup. It is not a good matchup for the Titans. I think we all would agree with that. You're looking across against one of the best defenses in the NFL. You have a Sean Payton coached offense, so you know that that's going to be creative and difficult to deal with. You have a quarterback in Bo Nix that played really well as a rookie last year, and that Sean Payton clearly believes is going to be like a star player in the National Football League. We'll see if Bo Nix ends up being that. But on paper, it's a bad matchup for the Titans. So what if they win? If they win this game on Sunday, they go on the road and they take down Denver and they win. What would that tell us about this coaching staff? What would that tell us about this program in year 2 for Brian Callahan? Knowing that if you look back through Titans history, I mean, go look at Ken Wisenhunt, baby. That guy was a week 1 savant. Week 1, you needed him to go win a game. He could do it. And that was about all the games he won was week 1 with the Tennessee Titans. So realizing that week 1 can be a liar in the NFL, and that week 1 success does not always mean that further success is coming down the line. They go on the road, they win this game in the altitude, given the circumstances and the mismatch on paper. What does that tell us about Brian Callahan and this staff?
Sean Payton blew it.
There we go.
It would be a big deal. Now, I have seen, and we've talked a little bit about this, but I've definitely seen more and more of the idea of, you know, Titans fans need Cam Ward to stink in his first game, you know.
Well,
because Cam Ward, if they win, there's no way they win unless he's pretty freaking good, right?
You would think so.
So then it's like, oh no, it's going to be the same fate of of all these quarterbacks.
Mariota.
Come in and Levis.
Yeah.
You know, Levis with the 4 TD game. So no, it would be a big boost. There's no doubt about it. Again, it's like with anything, it's like, okay, show me how. What's it look like? What happened? Was it just a bunch of weird crap that happened and they got lucky? I mean, last year, Matt Eberflus should have sent a fruit basket to Will Levis after he handed him that game, you know? But, yeah, I mean, this is one of those weeks where Brian Callahan and his staff, they are being pitted against, I think, one of the best coaches in the NFL, right?
For sure.
I don't know where Sean Payton ranks. I know where he probably ranked himself.
I was about to say, just ask him.
Yeah. But, I mean, he is good. He's very good. And I think basically you get him away from having to have Russ as his QB, and all of a sudden he looks a little bit better. So, now this is one of those – I mean, every week is a test, but this is one of those – you beat this coach, and that's, you know, that's a big deal. That's a little bit more than just a win.
Well, I think it would be more than anything else, Ian. I think it would be just a huge shot in the arm, not just to the fan base, because I think the fan base needs that, but I think to the team, and yeah. I think to Brian Callahan. Like, Brian Callahan kind of needs a win like this, right? Like, I went through the schedule yesterday. If it goes anywhere close to the way I think it might this year, I mean, the belief in him, regardless of how good of a guy you think he is and how smart you think he is, if a long enough period of time elapses, when you're talking about last year and the first part of this year, where the results just don't come, it's hard for everybody involved, I think, to continue to have belief in what he's doing and what he's preaching. And I think if you can get a win like this, that's a huge shot in the arm to begin the year.
No, I think that's fair. And I think Joe's point to how the game kind of goes, you know, could dictate how you feel, maybe more so. Like, did Denver just completely lay an egg? You know, turnovers, they make a couple of bonehead plays that turn the game and boom. Although, if you're the Titans, that means you're taking advantage
right.
of, you know, the quick turnaround kind of stuff. So that'd be good. I am hesitant to take a lot from week one in general, regardless whether it's good or bad. There's just so many variables the first week. And I can't remember. I want to say it was 4 or 5 teams last year lost week one, still made the playoffs. I remember Floyd Reese always used to say, early in the season, the bad teams don't know they're bad yet.
Yep.
And that's one of the things, like, if you're the Titans and it's week one and it's Denver, and Denver's got all this hype over the offseason, they're going to come in, you know, the Titans are supposed to be terrible. Like, would I be surprised if Denver just didn't play well the week one, kind of underestimating the opponent, and the Titans win? I'm not sure that would be incredibly shocking to me, considering it's the first week, but I'm not sure. It might set you up, you know, moving forward, but I would be very hesitant to take a whole lot out of the first week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's still a real football game. But I agree, it can obviously lie. I think week one lies in college football more than in the NFL, but certainly you can go find, I mean, think about the Titans of the year that they end up being the number one seed. They were incredibly hyped. They come in and just get destroyed at home by the Cardinals. Actually, this game at Denver, a little bit like the going to Cleveland game in 19. Remember the hype around the Browns? Now, the Titans weren't supposed to be terrible. They were supposed to be okay. They went in and crushed them. Just, you know, you got what? You got, like, my gosh, was it Cameron Wake with a safety?
You're like 37 years old, however old he was.
Derrick Henry takes one of those throwback screens all the way. A.J. Brown takes, I think he took one all the way, didn't he?
He did.
It was just like
this
total fantasy land. And the funny thing is that team ends up losing 4 of their next 5 games, and I swear the worst team in football, certainly the worst offense in football, as a game at Denver showed.
Yep.
And then they end up going to they end up leading by 10 in the AFC Championship game. Talk about it. Just wait until the next week, and who knows what you might get, team. So that happens in the NFL too. Although I think that that team still is an outlier in like the terribleness and greatness that they had in the same year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you guys for the most part on like there's limitations as to what it means, but I do think, you know, as Ian brought up, if they win this game, it tells me that they're not out there making some of the same catastrophic mistakes that they made last year. And I'm not just talking about quarterback, because that's the easiest one to point to. But what did we talk about all last week of just the stupid penalties they had last year and the shooting themselves in the foot and, you know, false starts when you're getting a drive start and you're automatically in first and 15 and putting yourself behind the eight ball. Like there's way too much of that crap last year. And if you can go on the road and get a win like this, that would probably tell me that you really limited that in week one. And not only did you take advantage of maybe some mistakes by Denver, but you just didn't kill yourself out there like we saw them do so many times last year, where, yes, they weren't talented. Yes, they had a bad roster. But they also did some things last year that were just not conducive to winning football games, regardless of what your roster looks like. And it would tell me that they cleaned some of that up.
Yeah. No, they need to look like a better coach team. In a lot of different ways.
But it would set you up for, to me, want to know if you win and what that could do if you find a way to beat the Rams next week.
Yeah, I know.
That would be encouraging.
Are we talking 17-0 right now?
But to start out the season, you know, and then you're talking like if you can find a way to win the first game and then you're going in the second game up trying to get to 2-0, you find a way to win both of those, then you probably get a better feel. Around the team, I would say, you know, the momentum starts to pick up.
Well, and again, like, I think, and I understand why people view it this way. Like, I do think there are some people around, like, league circles and, like, some Titans fans that are looking at this as if this is, like, ETSU going to Neyland this weekend and playing Tennessee. And, like, there's just no chance for the Titans to pull it off. I mean, it is the National Football League. They do have, a chance to go win this game on the road.
It is, yeah, exactly. I mean, way crazier things happen all the time. I mean, that's why we're like blown away by, you know, what is it, 8.5 right now?
Yeah,
and that's a massive line in the NFL. That's a massive line.
Yeah,
obviously in college football, that's not that big of a deal. You know, real quick, Dustin from Hopkinsville is recommending a super thing called Superbox for people to apparently you can get everything that's ever been on television on it. I am not. Promoter, that sounds a little fishy there, yeah. Dustin. I'm just saying. Then he says to me, "You ever go 5 over on the freeway?" I'm like, "All right, man.
You do you, Dustin. It'll be all right. Don't worry about it."
Superbox. It just sounds. I don't know, man. Sounds like
that's illegal,
and I'm calling the feds in to shut this down. There you go. Sounds like happy fun ball.
Ian's got the perfect drop for everything. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. Plus. Bill Belichick just keeps getting in his own way out there, and he's done it again. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 the game. Tomorrow, the MTSU Blue Raiders taking on Wisconsin. Kickoff at 3 o'clock, and you can catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, apparently – North Carolina football has banned the New England Patriots staff from accessing their program. And apparently not even just the Patriots, but most teams around the league have had their access limited to the North Carolina football program. Now, from what I'm reading, I'm gathering that the Patriots are just outright banned, right? Like they just outright cannot access this. I'm looking at a story from ESPN.com. It says, quote, two NFL scouts who work for other teams told ESPN that North Carolina, under Belichick's leadership, offers limited access to all NFL personnel. Clubs are allowed to speak only with Jourdain, who's a member of their staff. And UNC's college relations website says that, quote, scouts will have zero access to coaches or other personnel people, and that the term zero access appears 3 times on UNC's college relations website, which is a page only accessible to NFL personnel. So what do you make of apparently very limited access to North Carolina for our NFL personnel people from Bill Belichick and just banning the New England Patriots staff from being around.
I'm starting to wonder if he's stupid.
I was going to take that conversation there. I am too.
Hey.
Like, has he just totally lost his mind, or has he always been like this?
Come to North Carolina. I'll get you the NFL. Hey, guess what? None of the NFL people can watch you. It's ridiculous. The Athletic wrote a story. Here's a Carolina source about the Patriots saying, quote, "Why would we let them in our home after how he's been treated since he left?" What?
Because it's not about you.
Exactly. It's not about you. Well, take it to the game, too. And this is a different thing, but it's the same idea. They put out their depth chart with no names on it, right? Yeah. So, again, at some point, if you're Bill Belichick, you should probably figure out that, you know, if you're winning big or whatever, then you can do pretty much whatever you want. But especially, I think, in college football, like, fans want information, you know. In the NFL, you're forced to give a lot of access. I'm sure he would have had none if it wasn't for the NFL's policies. He hates the media. But, you know, fans want to follow along with this stuff. You need those people to care and you should give them information and not kind of spit in their face at it with a basic, obvious thing. But between that and the NFL scouting thing, it's just like, it just screams, I don't get it. And, you know, then you tack on a nice 48-14 beauty in your opener, and it's just like you just look really bad on a variety of fronts here.
He looks like a total moron, and it makes you look at the totality of his career. And look, I've always been somebody who looks at him and says, you know, everybody calls him the greatest NFL coach of all time, and it's like, well, he's won 6 Super Bowls as a head coach, and you know, Brady gets up in front of a microphone and talks about how good of a coach he is, and all his players talk about how much of a genius he is. So, like, I can't ignore that. Like, that's pretty important information that everybody talks about. And then you look at his career, and it's like, well, I mean, before Brady showed up in New England, he was an okay head coach. And then after Brady was gone, he's not very good. And now he's gone to North Carolina, and it just looks like he's lost his mind. Like, I don't know what to make of the whole Belichick part of this. You know, and I know people, the more that time has gone on here, and particularly when Brady went somewhere else and immediately won a Super Bowl, it was just like, I think there was probably a little bit too much of, it was just entirely Brady. Like, it was all Brady. But I will say, the more he starts doing this stuff, I'm just like, man, was it all Brady? Like, what's going on around here? Like, I just, the level of incompetence that he has put on display the last couple of years just does not add up to me from anything else we saw during that era.
Yeah. Well, look, it's before Brady went to Tampa Bay, if you ever a situation like this where you have an all-time great player and a great coach, I mean, again, like I'm like Phil Jackson has all these styles. Like, man, it sure was good to coach Jordan and Pippen and Shaq and Kobe.
Right.
Not saying Phil Jackson's not a great coach, but, I mean, of course it's the player. The player always outweighs, to me, the coach. Yeah, Belichick's a great coach. I mean, you can't – and again, the early days of Brady, they weren't leaning on Brady to carry them. I mean, they had an all-around great team, and he was part of it. But, yeah, the way it's – I mean, it's legacy. This is legacy savaging right now from Belichick. It is. And, again, so it's like – and take the Jordan Hudson thing out of it. I mean,
I'm not even really referring to that.
No, I know.
Yeah, like it just.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like that's another part of it. But I mean, just take that out of it and just look at the pettiness here and the just
ego, right?
Yeah, ego.
Yeah,
and just again, just not getting it. Like, understand what you need to be successful. One of the things is definitely like the 33rd team. Lean in on the NFL thing of it, and you're just going to completely ban one of those teams. I mean, look, if you have players good enough, like, they'll get drafted. But that's still, like, it's going to be used against you. Just like anything, like we talk about the Tennessee offense or whatever it is. Everybody else out there recruiting, they all negative recruit. It's what they do. It's the primary form of recruiting is negative recruiting against whoever else is competing with you for players.
Yeah.
And Bill Belichick is just giving them all reams of information.
Well, and the other part of this is, like, the results, both in New England when it was coming to an end, and now, look, we're one game into North Carolina, so who knows? I mean, go look at their schedule. It's not exactly murder's row that they've got coming up this year. But, I mean, they looked awful the other night against TCU. So if the results don't come, you're also talking about a pretty extended period of time right now from him where the results have just been bad. Like, and look, you know, it's pro sports when you're in New England. Eventually things cycle down, and when Brady moves on, you're not replacing Tom Brady, right? Like, it's just not going to happen. So some of it is just natural law in professional sports that eventually you're going to cycle down. But I'm just saying, that, and we're on a pretty extended run now of the results not coming from him, regardless of what level of football he's been at. And look, I've got an open mind to him at North Carolina. You know, I'm still intrigued by it. It was a horrific start for him down there. And, I think there's a lot of excuses that have been made from some this week about him of, well, look how new the roster is, and they've got 70 new players, and it's there. And it's like, well, you can't be screaming about how you're the 33rd NFL team and you put together this big organization and you're so much smarter than everybody else, and then you lose by 100 in your first game, and you're like, well, we just changed the roster up too much. You don't get it both ways. But I the more information that comes out of there, Joe, the more convinced I am that it's just going to be an absolute disaster for him down there. It's hard to think anything different.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's I've never bought – I figured it would be, like, pretty good. And it may yet be, you know. Like, he's too good of a coach for it to just be terrible. But I don't know, man. Like, again, college football is a different deal, too. And just some of the outside stuff, I think, can get – can just be more of an issue. And, again, remember, these are 18- to 22-year-olds, not 20 – 2 to 32-year-olds. I mean, that's a big difference. They're not professionals. I mean, again, someone's asking if this is a girlfriend role of the Patriots. Again, let me read this quote. Quote, this is a Carolina source. Quote, why would we let them in our home after how he's been treated since he left? They got all our tape and call our staff for info. We will help our players, but being treated fairly is a two-way street, end quote. No, this is Bill Belichick being petty. Bill Belichick writes a book about his football life and doesn't mention Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
I mean, you rip him. Take a chapter to rip him. Like, that's not taking the high road. That's like, that's just a selective history of your life. It's, you know, that stuff like that is just, it's really, I keep coming back to, like, he just doesn't get it.
Well,
it makes him look bad.
And what was his motto, his catchphrase for all those years in New England, right? Do your job.
Right.
And don't be worrying about all this other stuff. And it just feels like he's so worried about all this other stuff, right? Like, it's the Robert Kraft stuff. Clearly, that has affected him. Look, I think it's also obvious that toward the end of his time in New England, Brady going somewhere else and winning without him really bothered him.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I think it really bothered him. Like, he's worried about all this other stuff. Yeah, and look, to bring the girlfriend into it, go back and look at some of those emails, right? Like, when the emails came out and, like, just the amount of crap that they were worried about and make sure that she's CC'd on every email. It's like, what are you trying to accomplish here? Because you seem to be worried about a whole lot of things that really don't have anything to do with winning football games out there.
Yeah, and then that is certainly, at the least, that's a distraction that can't be helping him do his job well.
No, absolutely not. 615-737-1025. Is our phone number. Some other news in college football that I think a lot of fans will like. I am very interested to see how this actually plays out in practice. We will get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. On September the 18th, Tim McGraw performing at Trinetics' Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org. Joe, changes coming to the transfer portal in college football. The NCAA FBS Oversight Committee, and boy, are there a lot of committees out there, but the NCAA FBS Oversight Committee voted to move to a January transfer window, which would eliminate the spring window. And Joe, I'm clicking on several different stories about this, and pretty much all of them just have Nico Iamaliava in a nice Vols uniform at the top of it there. So
right.
That's the first person you think of when you think about all this. Also, the committee is proposing basically to make the whole month of December a dead period for recruiting. So you got the dead period in December and then the transfer window in January, which I believe would begin on January the 2nd of next year in 2026. So the one-time transfer window in January has been voted on, and now the spring window has been eliminated. What do you make of this? What do you think this does for college football specifically, and is this a good thing?
Well, it's an improvement. I mean, you know, it's – look, this is one of those where I think coaches, absolutely, this is coaches winning. This is what they want. Now, not all of them. Ryan Day has expressed some reservations about this. Ryan Day is a guy who is going to be coaching a team. He probably figures well into January. So to him, like if you're, basically if you're one of those few teams that's moving on the playoff, I'm trying to think after January 2nd, basically that gets you down to, would it just be the semis after that? Semis and then the title?
Yeah. So like the, when let's say January, January 2nd,
New Year's Day is the
2026,
quarters.
The quarters would have just happened at that point.
So, you know, you're one of the last four teams standing. This is still going to be, you know, whatever, like the kid who, you know, that you would love to hold on to, who's young but is like, nope, I'm never going to play here, and bails on the team, and it's a distraction. I mean, like, it's never going to be perfect. I think this is good. Now, look, for players, I mean, the bottom line is when players had the two windows, there is, like, see how spring ball goes, and, like, it can help players to look around. So, I mean, it's never going to be perfect. I do agree with my co-worker and our friend of the show, Stu Mandel, on, like, this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, it'd be great to see this now that the players are, I mean, like, the players are getting paid. The players should have more say in things. That they should, you know, this should be a collective bargaining topic, but it's not what it is. So when it comes down to it, I think this is to have one window. It'll be less chaotic. I think overall it's probably the best thing I could come up with. And you know, the dead period in December is good. Another thing I would say about this is another reason to make this better. You know, move things back. I mean, I think that the semis should be around New Year's Day, and then you have one more thing. It last year seemed like an just interminable season. We were, of course, had never seen anything like it before, and this is why, like, championship weekend to me should be the start of the playoff and et cetera. But then people are going to be like, "Well, you just cost me revenue." So, and if you do that, that can never happen.
No, can't have that. Can't have that. Yeah, I think the one-time window is a good thing. You know, I think, as I've talked about before, from a college football fan standpoint, I don't really care about players getting paid. Make your money. It's fine. Doesn't bother me. I don't think it bothers most people. Like, I think people in general have accepted the fact and probably agree with the fact that the players need to be paid to some degree. What bothers me to no end, and I think bothers a lot of college football fans, is how much movement there is. Like, I don't think there needs to be no movement, but I don't think you need to have the opportunity to leave five times a year either. Like, I think you one time, and you make your decision, and then you live with it, right? Like, you're either there or you're not, and you don't get to reevaluate and redecide in the spring when time rolls around. And this is not just a Nico Iamaliava thing. Like, I think the less player movement we have in college football, I think the better off it is, actually. Like, I don't think you should go to the extremes of just not allowing people to transfer, and I don't love the idea of, you know, players having to sit out a year like we used to do it when they transferred. But trying to rein this in a little bit, I think this has been the biggest problem in the sport over the last few years. And I'm with anything that tries to curtail this a little bit, and I'm hopeful that this does it.
Yeah. No, I agree. The movement is the problem. I think more people – I think there's a lot of people who maybe early had an issue with, this is supposed to be amateurs, but it's like, yeah, you didn't – yeah, you thought that there was just
– a lot of money flowing around for something that's supposed to be amateurs.
No cream cheese on the bagel. Yeah, I agree. No, it's every single year teams switching up half their team. No, it makes for less attachment to the players. But I also think that needs to be addressed with – contractually,
yes.
Right? I mean, that's, you know, again, how do you do that? I mean, I think you have to have people at a table bargaining for it. But I mean, I think if you have more contracts, and there is more of that going on, which is like there are like more boosters who are trying to build in like penalties when people leave. But then again, it's also hard to sometimes enforce that. But I agree. You know, people. Here's an interesting quote from an agent. Said that you know, basically he tells his clients, the spring portal, you don't want to get into that anyway. January is better, unless you're like an absolute. And again, Nico would be one of those,
yeah.
Right? Like, whoa, huge. That was why it was a huge news story. But for the most part, if you're bailing out in the spring, it probably isn't good for you. You might be sitting in that portal for a while.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, for most people, for most players, this should work. You know, you get through the season and you just kind of look around. Like, it's never going to be perfect. Like, oh, no, they brought in this guy. Okay, oh, I'm down the depth chart. I gotta go. Like, sometimes you have to stick it out, you know? I mean, and there are a lot of kids who, frankly, by sticking it out in a place, just because they're not getting the instant gratification, might end up being better for them.
Yeah, I agree. And, again, not totally eliminating player movement. Because I think some of it's good, right? Like, the idea – like, Florida State's a great example. Florida State, awful last year. And the fact that they got back in the portal and they changed up their roster. And look, we'll see what they do the rest of the year. It's been one game. But so far, through one game, pretty impressive what they've been able to kind of retool and put together there. So, like, from that standpoint, if you're a fan, like, you look at your team and it's like, well, you can change it pretty significantly from year to year. Just because you're bad one year doesn't mean that you necessarily have to be bad the next year. So, like, I understand people who like that part of it. I just think – we got through a point when this whole thing first started. It got to a point for a few years where it was crazy, like the amount of player movement. Like there were guys that were playing 4 years at four different places. Like, it's just nuts the way that went down.
Yeah, and for the most part, that's just not good. I totally buy into the idea of, like, you know, when you're at a place and you stick it out and you're there, you build relationships, you build. You know, these are some things that can, beyond whatever money you're getting in the short term, you know, these are lifelong relationships that can really, you know, this could lead to careers and things like that, yep. Right? I mean, it's just, not to mention that you are supposed to be getting a degree. And again, most of these people, I mean, athletes still have a higher graduation rate than regular people. Let's remember that. But we always think of, like, the people who are definitely going to the NFL who don't care about it. But, you know, it is a big part of this. It is still school. Jason Glitzville says, what about, you know, one free move and then the next sit out a year? The courts have basically said, like, you can't. Like, you know, again, now that people have figured out going to the courts and they're like, oh, yeah, this is America where you're allowed to, like, make money for your services. That's illegal. So it's just not going to happen. But I mean,
in concept, I don't hate that idea, but it's not going to happen.
Right. Like, the courts have basically said, like, you can't do it. So, again, this is where you get into contracts that bind you, which is fine. That's what they do in the pros. This is the minor leagues of the NFL.
It is. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Back into the Titans and the Broncos coming up next. The five most important Titans, whose name is not Cam Ward, coming up this weekend for the Titans to get a win. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 1025 The Game.